The purpose of this video is solely to provide information for you to make your own decisions on the subjects that are presented. Welcome to the Ben Armstrong Show, folks. Obama funded the most dangerous biolab in Ukraine. Oh my goodness. Yes, the biolab that is the most dangerous in the Ukraine, at least, traces back to Obama. Now, the question, well, there's lots of questions that arise, but some of you don't believe me. Some of you think, no, this didn't really happen. You're wrong. This can't possibly be the situation. Well, it is. Natalie Winters, one of the best young reporters, did it, and it happened on David Brody's water cooler, where I saw it, at least. And there's no point in me talking. I want you to get right into what she found, so I'm going to play it for you. Take a listen.
No secret that a lot goes on behind closed doors when it comes to the federal government. No wonder Aaron Burr wanted to be in the room where it happened. Well, thankfully, though, as Luke 12 verses 2 and 3 put it, quote, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. And let me tell you something, President Barack Obama, no exception to that verse. According to an article written by investigative reporter Natalie Winters over at the National Pulse, they have recovered a once deleted web article that, quote, reveals that former President Barack Obama spearheaded an agreement leading to the construction of biolabs handling especially dangerous pathogens in Ukraine. Well, joining me now to expand on this is the author herself, Natalie Winters, with the National Pulse. Natalie, thanks for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Natalie, tell us a little bit, tell our viewers a little bit more about what the heck is going on here. I mean, especially with the political climate in Ukraine and Russia right now, I mean, this is really a fascinating find.
Sure. So people may have heard some rumblings about the existence of these biolab-like facilities in and across Ukraine. And my interest as an investigative reporter was certainly piqued when I saw the mainstream media, of course, along with their fact-checking operations, come out in very, very staunch defense before it seemed like we had all of the evidence to say that these biolabs do not exist. And of course, testimony by State Department official Victoria Nuland expressing fear that these facilities could fall into the hands of the Russians piqued my interest even more. So I started digging around, especially on the heels of COVID-19 and how U.S. taxpayer dollars ended up in the hands of the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I didn't think it would be a far off conclusion that we could see a kind of similar plan unfold in Ukraine. So to no surprise, I'm surprised that the article was deleted, but we actually found a webpage all the way back from 2010 that documented the key players in setting up this network of biological laboratory facilities across Ukraine. And there were two senators. One was from the state of Indiana, the other from Illinois, who you may recall is former President Barack Obama. So this article, which again has been deleted, we were only able to recover an archive of the webpage, actually details the type of pathogens that this laboratory was working with. And it's not just, you know, your general run-of-the-mill viruses, plague, anthrax, a bunch of other viruses that I can barely even pronounce because they are so deadly and lethal to humans, are among the group of pathogens that this laboratory is working with. So this kind of, I would say, converged with another story that we put up where we dug more into the existence of these pathogens. And it only seemed that as we, as at the National Pulse, reported more on this issue, the fact checkers and the United Nations ambassadors and officials only dug their heels in more, insisting that these labs didn't exist. But a 2011 report from the National Academy of Sciences goes in really in depth to the over 4,000 biological laboratories that exist across Ukraine and the type of pathogens that they work with. And very interestingly, there are only two laboratories in the entire country that have clearance to work with the first level of pathogens, which is the most deadly. And of course, that laboratory was the one that Barack Obama spearheaded the funding for, which of course came from the U.S. Department of Defense, which is very, very curious.
Yeah.
When your Department of Defense is doing the most dangerous biolab stuff in a foreign country and not here. They are skirting laws in America. That's why there's no reason why you would do any experiment that's good for humanity in the Ukraine. It is amazing. It traces right directly to Barack Obama when he was a senator. Now, this raises more questions. Understand, folks, you got to spread this information because they are going to censor this like crazy. They are not going to want this information out because it begs the question. We have heard so many times that the Obama administration tried to stop Fauci from conducting illegal activity, right, in Wuhan and in other areas. And I believe it is true that there were some in Obama's administration that really did. But the question arises, if Obama was for this as a senator and spearheaded this in the Ukraine, what did he do as president? Was that just people in his administration that did that, maybe even without his knowledge? And they're just trying to give him credit because somebody actually did something by accident good in the Obama administration. I would say by accident, because the Obama administration didn't do anything good. If they ever were to do something that was good, it would be by accident. But it really raises the question, how much did Obama know? When did he know it? How much did he really know about Fauci and what Fauci was doing in Wuhan and the Wuhan Chinese lab? He clearly doesn't have a problem with dangerous pathogens being worked on in foreign countries that could be bioweapons, and our Department of Defense was involved. So, and he didn't have a problem as a senator. He should be asked the question, what changed if you have a problem now? You didn't have a problem then. Folks, it always traces back to these the same actors that are high up in the Democrat Party. It always traces back to them, doesn't it? It always does. Remember, Joe Biden is just doing the extension of what Obama started. Remember that Obama had extremely high gas prices throughout most of his presidency. They didn't drop to where it was good, the gas prices, until Trump took over. And Trump showed that, oh no, gas prices shouldn't be this high. And it shows, and then as soon as Biden gets in, gas prices go right back up. It shows you just how much ability they have through regulations. That's usually how they do it, but through executive orders and regulations, that's how much ability they have to strangle you. One man, a president, does. Trump reduced more regulations, got rid of more regulations than any other president. That's why the economy boomed. He didn't even have to get Congress to do anything because they wouldn't do anything for him. The Republicans were against him. The Democrats were against him. All he could do was get rid of presidential regulations and executive orders. And that alone unleashed our economy. So it shows you just how powerful a president can be. And if things are going bad, the president is 100% at fault, because the president can make things go good simply by executive orders. They have always pretended like they can't, or like they can't fix the problem. Trump was able to start building a wall without Congress even helping him. Do you understand this? All these other presidents that said, yeah, we need to secure the border, they could have. They didn't. Anyways, the point here is it traces back to Obama. It shouldn't be a shock, and it leads to 1,000 more questions, and therefore they will have to censor this. And what they'll say is misinformation, because it informs people of the evil that Democrats do, and so that must be labeled as misinformation. Not false information. They won't say it's false. They can't say it's false. They'll just say mis, meaning it's information we don't like. That's all misinformation means. Truthful misinformation from the left. If you ever hear the left say misinformation, all it means is that information is 100% true and we don't like it and don't want you to ever look at it. That's what that means. Every time you hear that, understand, as soon as you hear misinformation, know it's true and know that you got to go and see what it is that they don't want you to see. Because if it wasn't true, they would say false information. When they say miss, they do that on purpose. That 100% means they can't prove it to be false. They know it's not false. They just don't want you to look at it. So misinformation means truthful information that liberals hate and makes them look horrible. And well, it just exposes who they really are and what they're really doing. So therefore, they try to pretend like it's not true. But most of America falls for it, sadly. Most. We are in a minority. Understand. Those of you who watch these videos are in the minority. You are not in the majority. The majority are fooled by that crap. I'm sorry to say. Look, there's a huge chunk that are not. But you know people, and you know more people who are fooled by this crap and all the lies that have been happening since COVID-19, Russian collusion lies, and how many people were fooled or at least want to be fooled? They just want to be on that side. You know it's the majority of people. I wish that wasn't true. If it wasn't, we wouldn't be where we are. I want to give you more of Natalie Winters and the conversation she was having. Take a listen on the water cooler.
Yeah, so here's a couple of questions. I mean, clearly the United States had to have been benefiting from this in some way. I wonder what the purpose of this lab would have been. That's one of my questions. The other one is, why in the world was this deleted? I mean, I got to tell you, when you delete something, hello, that's a red flag for, wait a minute, that's something you don't want us to see. So what are your thoughts on a couple of those issues?
Yes, well, it almost seems like you find the crime in the cover-up, and I think that might be what we see going on here. But to your first question, we actually put up a follow-up piece of the National Pulse that I think answers that question pretty well, so I encourage your viewers to go and check it out. But essentially, the United States government, at least publicly espoused line on the issue, is that these laboratories were all formerly bioweapons facilities under control of the Soviet Union. And that's not a disputed fact. The Soviet Union has admitted to it, even Ukrainian scientists, and there are a lot of reports and documents, even from some DC-based think tanks, you know, the experts, as they would like to be referred to, corroborate the existence of these laboratories. So the narrative goes, at least according to the U.S. government, is that they were attempting to fund these labs to prevent these pathogens, these very, very deadly pathogens at that, from falling into the hands of the Russians. But it's very curious, first of all, because that only lends further evidence to the fact that these laboratories do have the capacity to work with pathogens that are bioweapons and biological agents, again, undercutting the narrative that we've heard from people in the mainstream media, from the people who deride this story as, you know, disinformation or Russian disinformation. But the other angle that I think is even more interesting is that why didn't Victoria Nuland bring up this component of the program, right? Instead of saying we're concerned that these facilities are going to fall into the hands of the Russians, she should have talked for the, you know, this has been going on for about 2 decades now, the program that was basically set up to prevent this from happening. So I think you can kind of, frankly, draw a lot of parallels to what we saw go on at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, in the sense that you hear these people who want to send our tax dollars to every single corner of this universe except our southern border talk about pandemic prevention and preventing the spread of dangerous diseases. But when push comes to shove, when we actually either get a pandemic-causing disease or, you know, we're in a global crisis, they really have nothing to show for it. So I think it really begs the question of, you know, what is the purpose of these pandemic prevention programs in the first place?
Yeah, she nails it, as always. Natalie Winters is fantastic. Here's the thing, folks. If their story will be, yeah, these were biological weapon labs by the Russians who developed this stuff, and we had to make sure everything's okay. Well, they've had years and years and years and years and years to destroy any biological weapons that were in there. They could have removed them and got rid of it all and shut it down. They didn't shut it down. They funded it. So don't let them lie and get away with it. You'd have to be a moron to think, well, we're doing it to do the opposite of what the Russians were doing to protect the Americans from these biological weapons. Well, if you're trying to protect me from the biological weapons, I would really appreciate that you destroy the biological weapons and get rid of them, not keep them in the Ukraine, house them, and fund more research on them. A normal person who wants to get rid of something that is super dangerous and should never be used, it's called destroy it. Wow, that safely, obviously. You have years and years and years to do it. They didn't do that because it's a lie. They're lying straight face right to you. And yes, there will be a bunch of people who work at CNN that will believe the lie because they need the lie. They know it's a lie. They don't really believe it. But they'll know, okay, what is my marching orders? What lie do I have to say to cover up Barack Obama's behind? What can I do to cover for Barack Obama? Because they love Barack Obama more than they love anything in the world. They do. And so they're going to lie and lie and lie, and they're going to give you propaganda and propaganda and propaganda and propaganda. And then they're going to give you propaganda that the Russians are going to use some sort of biological weapon in Ukraine. And even if something were to occur, you're going to have a hard time knowing if it really did or didn't, because liars are the ones telling you something. How can you ever believe what they say is true? Just like I don't believe the red line was even crossed in Syria. I've never seen enough evidence where I can say, oh yeah, remember in Syria when they said Assad crossed the red line and used biological weapons? There's a lot of dispute. There's been a ton of evidence I wouldn't say evidence, but there's been a ton of people that have denied that it actually happened, tons of reports that it didn't happen, and then there was reports and tons of reports that it did happen. All I know is the people who almost always are lying, like 99% of the time are lying, are the ones that told me it happened. So how do I know if it really did happen? I don't. And so I still stand to this day that I don't know, and I'm skeptical that Assad even used some sort of biological weapon in Syria. I'm still skeptical to this day. I think they were trying to get Trump to take out Assad. That's what they wanted to do, but Obama wouldn't do it for himself, so he armed ISIS and created ISIS to get rid of Assad. That didn't work. Assad still survived that. So then our intelligence agencies, who hate Donald Trump, tried to trick Donald Trump into taking out Assad, thinking, well, we'll get Trump to do it, and he'll take all the blame if he does. And Trump didn't fully bite. What Trump did is he threw warning shots, dropped the mother of all bombs, if you remember, and basically just warned, but showed, I can if I want to, but he didn't get pulled into removing Assad from Syria and creating a war in Syria and going to war with Syria. So thank goodness he stopped short, because when this was happening, I was worried they were going to pull him into a war in Syria because Trump was new. But Trump handled it fine, thank goodness. All right, so with the lies and propaganda that we are about to face, I want you to hear from Patrick M. Wood, who this actually came from the grand jury, the public grand jury trials that they were holding about COVID-19. But he was talking about how propaganda works. You have to keep propaganda going forever and ever and ever. They will never stop the propaganda, because as soon as they do, it falls apart. I want you to hear this. Take a listen.
But the other thing is that the propaganda that's been pushed down from above your country level, that trickles down to you, because we're getting the same propaganda you get. If this propaganda were all of a sudden stopped, the whole thing would fall apart in a matter of weeks. The propaganda is just like in a war, has to keep coming to pump up that deception in people's mind. If the propaganda chain is ever broken, the whole thing will fall apart in just a matter of weeks, and people will wake up one day and say, what on earth just happened? Mm-hmm. We've seen this in other countries and other situations, but I offer that as a key thing. The other thing is, we can't blame a doctor individually for what's happening, but the people who are controlling the top of the pyramid have created a culture of abuse that has trickled down into every hospital, into every doctor's office, into every health clinic, every emergency clinic in the world. Now, there's a few exceptions. We know that. A few doctors are still practicing that don't buy it. But by and large, the whole thing has trickled down. It's a culture of abuse that's been created. This, I haven't seen this really brought up anywhere in our country yet. Okay. Who created the culture of abuse in particular that it would end up with testimonies like what you are showing on your website?
So he's dead on, especially with the propaganda. He's right about what's been happening with the hospitals. And I think anyone who's had experience with some relatives and how different it is than what hospitals used to be like and how they treated you, it's totally changed, and it's horrible what has happened to our hospitals. And they don't treat you like they're there to serve you. They treat you like you have to obey, and you're a prisoner to them and what they say, and your family members don't have any rights over you or what to say. It's horrible what's happening in hospitals all around the world. It's horrible. I wish it wasn't happening. I wish I could say, you know, if this was 20 years ago, you know, I liked going to hospitals. I'm not talking about for being sick or anything. I mean, visiting a hospital and visiting people in hospitals and stuff. And you can't even do that in this day and age where you can go to a hospital to visit loved ones. It depends where you are, but in some places you still can't, or just one person can go. It's amazing what has happened. So the point, though, the original point of the propaganda, folks, they will never stop. They have bought into their lie, and if they ever stop their propaganda of their lies, then they get exposed. And I think they were getting tired because we were combating them so well with the truth. And it's got to be exhausting to keep lying about your own lies. Exhausting. So they needed an out, and the war is the only thing they could think of to give them relief from, oh my gosh, whew. We're constantly having to find what to ban. Look at all this truth that we have. But even with Google banning everything and Twitter banning everything, they're still getting the truth out. Oh my gosh, this is so exhausting. How we got to keep these lies up, and it's so hard. And here's the biggest kicker. If they don't keep the lies up, the world will know that they are evil. That these people who try to act like they are good are so wicked and dark inside, we can't even comprehend it. They are nothing like us. I wish that wasn't true. But because this is a battle of good and evil, God says this is true. Jesus' sheep hear his voice. The ones who are not do not hear his voice. They are not like us. You, the Bible says, is like an alien in a foreign world. Because you are not of this world. Goodness and light is not really of this world. The one who leads this world is Satan, and he's dark. And his followers have darkness in their hearts. And the people who don't even think they're following him, if you reject Jesus, you're following him regardless. You don't even know it. So don't reject Jesus. Here's your opportunity to get goodness and light inside of you. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. Jesus said that about himself, and it's true. You need him, his blood, his sacrifice, his death and resurrection, and your faith in that to save you from your evil ways. That's what you need. I love you guys. See ya! Hey guys, Conversations That Matter is a show hosted by Alex Newman at thenewamerican.com. This is where he has conversations with a whole bunch of people in interview form, and these conversations are dealing with people that the mainstream media really doesn't want you to hear from, but Alex Newman will interview them, and you'll get to hear from them, and these are things that could actually save your life or save our liberty as well. So check out Conversations That Matter at thenewamerican.com.